Stop jumping on me. Ah, why are you doing that?
Having a bad dog day?
Rex, come back here.
From police dogs to pet dogs, from potty training to pet peeves, number one best-selling author and 30-year canine trainer Andy Falco knows how to get to the meat of what's eating your dog. This is Falco Canine Dog Talk,
the show that helps you and your dog create a relationship of love and respect.
What a good boy. Good heel, Rex. I love you, Rex.
And now here's your host, Andy Falco.
Thank you, Christopher, for that great introduction. I love that intro. It is so awesome. This is Andy with another episode of Falco Canine's Dog Talk, and come to you from Brea, California, here at our office that we've been at for, I think it's been about 8 years, where we're getting ready to move. And so you guys on this podcast are one of the first to know that we are going to be moving to a new location in Yorba Linda. It's going to be great. I can't tell you all the details about it yet because we don't have all the paperwork signed and sealed and delivered. And as soon as I do, you guys will be one of the first to know where we are going. It's going to be great. We're joining forces with a couple other companies, and it's going to be fun. But what's not going to stop is our radio show called Falco Canine's Dog Talk, where we talk about everything dog. Anything that you want to talk about, a dog, a story that you've read on the internet, or something you've heard on the news, give us a call if you have a question about it or it concerns you. If there's any product you want to know more about and our feelings on it, if you want us to find an expert to give us their view on anything in particular besides myself, hopefully my expertise will cover enough of things related to police dogs, detection dogs, and pet dogs, animal behavior, that kind of stuff. But there is certainly other people out there that have a great knowledge in other areas that I'd be more than happy to connect with if there's a question you have that may pertain to one of their expertise in particular. And so where you want to call us is our canine dog line, and here it is.
Got a dog question you'd like answered on air? Call the canine line at 714-798-9961. That's 714-798-9961. And now, back to Falco Canine Dog Talk.
So yes, so you're going to want to call us at that number, 714-798-9961, and just leave a message and let us know what it is you want to learn. One message I got from a friend of ours, she has a bed bug dog. Her name is Annette Clark. She's here in Brea, California. But she sent me a message in regard to a police canine that was fired in, I believe it was Oregon. Let me bring up the story here. It was in Cannon Beach, Oregon. I've never heard of Cannon Beach. I may have to look that up. It sounds like a great place. I'm not sure. But in the story, it says that a 2-year-old Belgian Malinois was supposed to be the 9th member of the police force. I guess they only have 8 cops. So it's a small town in Oregon. And so they're bringing in this canine. It's a coastal town, obviously, called Cannon Beach. But Cash is the dog's name. Just didn't have what it takes. The dog was dismissed from the force before seeing any action or gaining any glory. Cash was skittish, afraid of heights, and had a barking problem. Well, a lot of police canines have a barking issue. One of the things that we like about the dog is it has a strong bark that gets things done. But this barking problem, I'm not sure what it was. Maybe it just barked all the time. Actually, there was a dog in the city of Buena Park back in the late 90s, early 2000s that I worked with as a canine handler. And this handler had a dog, and I think the dog's name was Rocky, but he didn't have a bark that was worthy of the name Rocky. Let's say that. The dog quacked like a duck. It was the funniest thing. So it was a Belgian Malinois also, and it had a quack. So maybe that was the problem with this dog. When Cash was asked to jump onto counters to search for drugs, he showed too much resistance. He would often bark aggressively rather than go straight to the drugs. I guess that was the issue. Barking is fine as an alert, but you can't get anything done, says the officer, when you're trying to get him to find dope and he's just barking in your face. Sounds like the dog was confused to me, but I don't know this dog, so I can't say that for sure. Officer Josh Gregory, the dog's former handler, told the Daily Historian. So this story comes from the Daily Historian. That's not the temperament we wanted to set for Cannon Beach, said Police Chief Jason Schermerhorn. Cash was returned to its original owner, Tammy Schultz of Clatsop County Search and Rescue. Now, why did they go to a search and rescue trainer for a police dog? I'm not sure. I mean, they could be like us. We cover a lot of ground. We do a lot of training for search and rescue, but we're mostly known for our police canines and our detection. So here is the issue with the story, I believe, is that there wasn't enough time taking in the selection process for this particular canine. And so it went through the training, whatever training that was. It says 3 weeks, which really is not a long time to do police canine training. But the selection process is probably one of the most important things. We're currently doing a job for a Middle Eastern country for some dogs. And this is the most difficult part. We have myself and a number of other people out there searching for dogs, and there are just so many dogs that are failing this process. It's kind of like trying to find cops. It's just not that easy nowadays with people's backgrounds and what they've done. And so it is not as easy as you think. Less than 1% of all dogs out there actually can be police dogs or detection dogs if they're just simply just detection dogs. It is hard to find. You need a dog that has a lot of courage, a lot of confidence, a dog that will jump on counters, like it says in the story. You want a dog that will jump onto it like a kitchen counter or a bathroom counter and search those cabinets that are above the counter. We want dogs to go underneath vehicles, crawl underneath there and try to sniff the undercarriage of vehicles. We want dogs that will run across slick floors, go upstairs that you can see through, which we call open stairs. And so this selection process is super, super important. So it sounds like that they didn't have a selection process for this dog, or else they would have found all of this out before they even started training. And so this really is important not only for police work, and I know all of you listening aren't necessarily police officers, but when you're selecting a dog for your family, you want to also have that kind of a selection process, some type of idea of what it is that you want from your dog. Do you want your dog to be the protector of your home? Do you want the dog to be simply a cuddle bug for you and your wife, or you and your husband and your children? Do you have like a sedentary life where you don't get out a lot? So you probably don't want a Belgian Malinois or a dog with a lot of energy that requires energy, because that is not who you are. You don't go out for daily walks. You don't go to hiking. You don't go to the park. If you don't do any of those things and you're hoping by getting a dog it's going to cause you to go out, you're making a serious mistake. This is going to be a problem, because that's really not who you are. You need to develop that habit before you get a dog. Don't expect a dog to change your habit. It's like somebody marrying somebody hoping that person is going to change them, or you're going to marry somebody thinking that you're going to change them. That's not going to happen. And so when you're looking for a dog, you want to have a selection process that is one that will test each dog. If you're going to a shelter or rescue, test the dog to see if it will fit into your family. If it's a big, heavy dog that's very muscular and strong, and you're not, that's probably going to be the bad selection, in a dog that has energy. If you want a big, cuddly dog that just kind of lays around, then make sure then look at the breed. Some Newfoundlands are that way. Some aren't. Some Basset Hounds are kind of just dogs that lay around. Sorry for any of you that are Basset Hounds owners that, maybe your dog's not. But look at the breed. Really study the breed that you are looking at as possible selection for your home, and have that same standard that we have as police dog trainers, that we really have a selection process. Just not the dog that's like standing in the corner or laying in the corner of the kennel and looks cute. That should not be the only selection a point that you look at when bringing a dog into your home, because after it's been there for a couple weeks, it's going to be harder and harder to take that dog back, or to you know, maybe tell the kids, hey, this dog's not fitting in. We're going to have to give it to somebody else, because then people have fallen in love, even though the dog drives you crazy. And it's just much, much harder. So have a very strong selection process for your dog, and don't end up having a situation like this police department, Cannon Beach in Oregon, had when they selected this dog or picked this dog out, and then and just thinking because it's a Malinois, obviously it's going to be a police dog. Wrong. You don't want that to happen, that you get it in there and spend all this money and time and effort and then find out the dog doesn't fit into what it is that you want. It reminds me a little bit of, for whatever reason, this probably is not going to make sense to anybody, but it makes sense to me, is that I think about a dog that just recently got shot in West Covina, Canine Rico, who was handled by Officer Rodriguez. Now, this is a dog that, you know, is out there doing the job, and this is kind of the selection process, why it's so important, because when you have a dog out there doing its job, it is going to save lives, potentially. It is going to find things and people that are hiding that never would have been found without a dog. And if you don't have that strong selection process, you're not going to have a dog like Rico that goes out there and literally saves lives, goes out there and does his job. And in the process, unfortunately for this dog, it got wounded. And so that's why the selection process is so important, because you never know when you're going to be put in that situation where the dog is going to have to perform at such a level like Rico, where it actually puts its life in danger to save the human beings that it's been trained to work with. And I got to say, on another note, this is the first time that I can remember in the 30 years that I've been in this business that I've heard of two dogs getting shot within the same year. It is fairly rare, believe it or not, that police canines get shot. And within this last year, we had another dog, Canine Bruno, in Anaheim, where I used to work as a police officer, with his officer, Officer Young. Bruno got in between the suspect and officers and saved officers' lives by taking a round, and survived, thank God. And so this, again, this is something's just different in our world. I mean, we listen to, the news, the radio, and just hear constantly about the violence that's happening throughout the world and that kind of stuff. And so I hope this isn't a trend that that police canines are going to be getting shot. It is rare. I want you to know that maybe if you're hearing about these two dogs getting shot, you're thinking, wow, you know, we're putting these dogs in a position that, they're unaware of. Dogs really don't necessarily know that they're police dogs per se. They just are out there doing a job, and they're doing it with full effort because we've trained them to do so, and we've selected them based on their desire to do that kind of thing. But I'm not sure that they really know that somebody's pointing a gun. And so you're going to have people out there that really go, well, is it really a good thing to put dogs in danger unknowingly to them that they potentially could be shot? But it is rare. And so these dogs often are so much faster and quicker, obviously, than we are, and can get into positions and take down these violent suspects that will save lives. And they dogs don't generally get shot. Now, there have been a few stabbed, which happens on occasion, but again, doesn't happen as often as you would think. But when they do work, when the dogs are selected properly and they're trained well, they will save lives, just as Canine Rico and Canine Bruno have done this year very effectively. And so we want to acknowledge them and tell them how proud we are of them and their handlers, that they're out there doing the job that not many people can do. So, all right, let's go on to another subject here. Another question I got asked, and this has to do with detection dogs. And again, I know a lot of you that listen to this maybe just have pet dogs, but I'll do my best to make sure that to relate this to what it is that you're doing to your dog or doing with your dog. But I want to make sure and cover all of our bases here, because this is really a good question. This may interest you just on a trivia thing, or somebody may bring it up in conversation, and you'll now have the knowledge to tell them something. But we have a peanut detection dog by the name of Lola that's out there, and Kim, the dog's owner, whose daughter is deathly allergic to peanuts, asked this question because this really was a concern of hers, and she asked, is Lola, the peanut detection dog, able to locate the scent of peanuts if the product has been vacuum sealed or vacuum packed? Like, for example, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup is not vacuum sealed. As you know, the package is kind of folded over and glued. But a Snickers is actually vacuum sealed on both ends. And can Lola effectively, should she be able to effectively find both or either one? And the answer is Lola can detect a candy bar that's made of peanuts in a vacuum sealed package. How I know this is because in training detection dogs for narcotics and explosives, let's stick with narcotics. Narcotics dealers and narcotics transporters, in an effort to try to get it past the airports where they have detection dogs, they have often tried to vacuum seal the narcotics, and to no avail. The dogs are still able to smell it. The reason being is that odor is always growing. Odor never stops. If you smell this book, for instance, you smell a book that's on my desk here, today it's going to have that book smell. 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, it's still going to have that book smell. Odor never stops producing. And as a matter of fact, it grows as it sits longer and longer. So if it sits inside that package, that odor has to get out. Everything is porous. I don't care how good the plastic is, how well it is sealed, it is always going to escape. There's pores to just about everything. And odor will eventually find a path through whatever it is it's in and find an escape route. And again, no matter how well it is sealed, the odor will get out. Now, to kind of let you know a little difference between the one that's vacuum sealed and one that's not, it's going to take longer, obviously, for the odor to get out. So if it gets vacuum sealed, you will have a period of time where the odor isn't as present as it is on a package that is not hermetically sealed. I went back to the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, where it is not vacuum packed. They're vacuum sealed. That's the word I was looking for. The sentence I was looking for is that it's in that type of package. It's going to take longer. And so you can actually put that someplace and bring a dog in. The dog may miss it if it's only been, a couple minutes, where if you let it sit for an hour or two, then the odor will eventually get out and the dog will be able to find it. So there will be a delay for the ability of the dog to locate something that's vacuum sealed as opposed to something that's not. So that's really the only difference. But yes, Lola, the peanut detection dog, can find something that's been in a package that's been vacuum sealed. Just give it enough time and the dog will be able to find it. All right. And this is not a question that came through our canine dog line, but this is something that came up in our training and is really going to be the last thing I'm going to talk about on this particular podcast, this radio show, and that is about the down behavior. Now, this came up and really showed itself again, and it often does, but the behavior of downing your dog and having the dog stay. So that's really two behaviors. It's the down and then the stay. Those two behaviors are the most important behavior that we train here at Falco Canine Academy. It doesn't matter if it's a police dog, a detection dog, or a pet dog. It is so darned important if you have a dog. The reason being is that you are the sole responsible person for your dog. So whether it's in your house, or it's out on a walk, or it's during a deployment, during a SWAT call, or if you're a bed bug detection dog and you're taking your dog to somebody's home to search for bed bugs, that down behavior is going to be the most important thing in addition to whatever it is the dog has been hired to do, because there's more liability if your dog isn't controllable. And that down stay is a controlled behavior that needs to be solid. Let me give you a couple of examples so that you know what I'm talking about. Let's just say that you're a bed bug detection dog handler and you're going to somebody's house, and as you get there, the management of the apartment building that you're getting ready to search suddenly shows up and comes over and wants to talk to you about the job you're just getting ready to do. If you're standing there and your dog is, say the dog is a great detection dog, but has a disposition of energy that kind of overwhelms the dog and yourself, where the dog is kind of always walking around, sniffing people in their crotch, tangling the leash around your legs and that kind of stuff. Can you imagine if you have a dog that's like that and you're trying to communicate with somebody who's going to be paying you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to do a job, and you can't control the dog in front of that person. The dog is busy sniffing the person's crotch and you're saying no. You're trying to get a hold of the dog. You're wrapping the leash around your hand and you're trying to show them how professional you are. That is going to harm your professionalism and being able to create a raving fan out of this person that you're getting ready to do a job for. So instead, if you're able to put your dog in a down stay, where the dog is solid in its stay and in that down position, that is going to be way better for you on a public relations standpoint for your company if your dog does that. Because I am sure that the person, if they own a dog, 9 times out of 10 cannot do that with their dog. So they see you, they see your dog is in a down stay, and you're able to communicate and do stuff and walk around while that dog stays and it's down. That is going to say more about you and your professionalism than almost anything else. You almost don't even have to have that great of a searching behavior from your dog, because if your dog does that, the human being watching this professional dog that's been trained to stay in a down while you do all this other stuff is going to say so much to them, and they're going to believe your dog is doing well when maybe he actually isn't. So I'm not telling you not to have a good professional detection dog, but you get my point, that first impression of your dog being in that kind of professional position and you're able to have that dog hold that position while you do those things is going to say volumes. Another example is that if you have a pet dog and you're on your walk, and you're walking down the street, and as you're walking, a kid comes skateboarding by, he goes to jump off a curb, and he just crashes and burns and hits the ground. Now, you have a Labrador Retriever that just loves to lick people in the face and jump all over them and wag his tail and his butt and everything and just really loves people. The one thing you would not be able to do if you don't have a solid down stay is go up to that child who has fallen and maybe has broken something with your dog, because now your dog is going to jump on them and lick their face and smell them and think that they're playing with them, when in fact you are causing more of an issue, more of a problem, because your dog is now just jumping all over this poor kid who's just fallen. So you know, if you're stuck there with your dog, that you're, what are you going to do? Are you going to tie the dog to a tree? Or are you going to have somebody hold your dog, but it's just you and this kid now that's down on the ground with a broken femur, and you can't go and greet them? Wouldn't it be great if you could down your dog in a solid down stay and now go and assist this child who has fallen, get them to, some sense of first aid, whatever it is, get them to stop moving so they're not worsening their situation. If your dog is in a down stay, you would be able to do that and not add anything to the injury that was sustained by that child falling. And let's just say that it's an older person, maybe that's shuffling down the road and trips and falls. You want to be able to help them, even if you're out there with your dog. So that downstay is really important. One last example where a downstay is really, really important is when you are answering the front door. You have the UPS guy, he's there bringing you a package, and instead of having the dog sitting there barking at the front door, trying to get out, trying to get to the what the dog perceives as a bad guy that's on the other side of that door, you want to be able to put your dog in a down stay. I have a client in San Diego, her name is Sarah, and her husband have 2 Weimer whiners. That's easy for me to say. And both those dogs are each probably about 110 pounds. And when I went over there for the first time, it was very interesting to watch what happens at the front door. These dogs are just barking and they're biting each other. They're trying to get out the door. They're trying to answer the door. They're trying to get a hold of these dogs. And it just is a free-for-all at the front door. After working with them for a few weeks, we are now able to see the results of this training. And when somebody knocks at the front doors, the dogs may bark a couple times, alerting the human beings that there's somebody there. But very quickly, the humans get control over their dog. They get their dogs over in a down stay at the very last landing on the stairway, which is right by the front door. The dogs are both laying there. They're able to go to the door, which is now about 6 or 7 feet away, and open the door and greet the people that are on the other side of the door with the door wide open. They can give hugs, they can transfer a package, they can sign whatever needs to be signed, and the dogs stay in their down stay. And it is so much better. unbelievably better for both the humans, the dogs, the people that are visiting, and people now comment on are these the same dogs that you had 6 months ago? Are these the same dogs that used to try to, it sounded like they were going to kill us on the other side of the door? Their relatives come over now and say, wow, are these the same dogs? Because they can now put these dogs in a down stay while they eat dinner, and the dogs don't come up and put their face on top of the table and try to eat whatever is close enough for them to reach. This down stay has just been a godsend. If we did nothing else with these dogs, which we have a healing that's a lot better. We have dog aggression that doesn't show up anymore as they're on their walks. We got a lot of other things that are happening, but the down stay is the thing that has become most useful for them and their dogs. So really, really understand that teaching your dog a down stay. If you come to Falco Canine Academy to get your dog training, that's one of the things that we're going to make sure and pass on to you, that is really, really important. If you don't come to us, make sure and go onto our website and find out how you can get involved on our online training program that is coming up here before the end of the year. The same thing is going to be taught, how to get your dog to hold a solid down stay. And if not, if you want to go to a trainer that's near you, make sure that you let them know that is one thing you want them to help you with, that you want a down stay to be the solid behavior that you teach their dog and they help you with. All right. So make sure that is an important thing with your training. All right, guys, I hope that we've covered a lot of ground. We talked about police dogs and detection dogs and pet dogs. We hope that you found some aspect of this broadcast useful to you and your dog. Make sure and tell your friends about Falco Canine's Dog Talk. It's a great radio show, I think, that you can get a lot out of. Make sure and call that number, 714-798-9961, and leave us your message about what it is you want us to talk about, whether it's pet nutrition, anything that maybe a veterinarian. We have some great veterinarians that are happy to come on the air with us and talk about anything from kennel cough to bloat and how to prevent bloat with your dog. Breeders, we have it all. We have connections with everybody. So make sure and let us know what your question is. We will, if I can answer it, I will invite somebody to cover that question for you. All right. You guys have a great day, and we will see you at the next Falco Canines Dog Talk. Take care. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Do you have a love-hate relationship with your dog? Learn how to change that into a relationship of love and respect with help from Falco Canine Academy.
Get your free training report at falcocanineacademy.com.
Thanks for listening to Falco Canine Dog Talk,
the show that helps you and your dog create a relationship of love and respect.
If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address at www.falcocanineacademy.com.
And like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Falco Canine Academy.
Follow us on twitter.com/Falco Canine Academy.
And subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Falco143.
And remember, if you've got questions for Andy, call the K9 line at 714-798-9961. That's 714-798-9961.
This is a production of Falco Enterprises Incorporated. All rights reserved.